I bet you thought, why has she gone so quiet? Because I was catching up with my guest. And I'm joined by Reverend Paul Carr.
Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Wearing a very fetching, it's a shame it's radio.
No, you can hear it, though.
A
you can hear the bells.
A very fetching Christmas jumper that has, is it Rudolph? And bells. That is a good jumper, actually. That's a good one.
That's a nice one. I like it.
Have you got several of these?
I have, actually. Mm. I tend to wear a different one at different church events.
Yes.
But I have a wonderful talk that I do with the schools where I wear about 10 different Christmas jumpers. And I say, is Christmas about this? I don't think so. Take it off. Is it about elephant frozen? No. Is it about an elf? No.
Yeah.
And I just say a little bit and take all these jumpers off. And it's one of those memorable sort of school carol concert talks. But once you've done it, you can't do it for years because people remember it.
Yes, or get different jumpers. Now, you are at the Emmanuel Church. What is your role at the Emmanuel Church?
So, I'm basically Emmanuel. My role in Billericay is that I'm the team rector of the Anglican churches.
Yeah.
Team rector means nothing to most people. But if I said I was the area leader or the area manager of the Anglican churches in Billericay, people would understand that. I'm based at Emmanuel Church in Landon Road, but there's five churches in Billericay. There's St Mary's in Little Birsted, there's Christ Church in Perry Street, there's St John's in Outwood Common, and we have what we call a Chapel of Ease in the High Street, St Mary's. So ultimately, they are my responsibility, but I have colleagues and some very supportive volunteers to enable me to do my job. So I'm the top man.
So he's the top man. I've got the top man in the top jumper. Now, Christmas, it's going to be quite... Christmas is tough for a lot of people. This year is going to be tough for a lot of people with regards to buying presents. And I always say, as I'm sure you agree, we will talk about the meaning of Christmas because sometimes it's about what I can get or what I can buy, how much I can spend. And people shouldn't put themselves into, hopefully I'm not preaching here, but people shouldn't put themselves into debt over Christmas presents. If you've got to buy something, maybe do something or make something.
I think so. And I know some families, we've done it ourselves in the past where we've set a limit and said, right, we'll spend £10 on a present. Yeah. That's it. An upper limit of £10. And then you have to be really quite imaginative or inventive, or you have to look well to find something. You can make something, you can do, and it becomes really quite a challenge. But knowing that you only have that to spend is quite exciting.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes setting limits on what you can spend is a good thing. You know, we talk about Christmas presents, but I think Christmas presents, as in being present with someone, is as important as anything, I think, this time of year.
Yeah.
And sadly, you will know as well as I do, and I'm sure many listeners know, there's a huge amount of people go into huge debt just for one day of the year.
Yes.
And I understand that people want to be generous and bless the family and friends, but in the current climate, I think we just have to look after ourselves a bit more. And if we spend £300 on a, you know, whatever, let's spend £100 and just keep a limit. But I think it's a fun thing to set an upper limit or even what they call secret Santas, don't they?
Yes.
Where not everybody's going to get a present, but you pick out a name and you have so much to spend.
Mm.
So there's lots of different ways you can have great fun about it, but it isn't always about the money.
No, we did once for somebody's birthday when I was about 17. None of us had any money. So for the birthday, he came in and went, oh, there's so many presents. There was a friend of ours called Warren, and I mentioned it the other day on the radio, what it was we wrapped up potatoes. So the first one he opened and he started laughing, and then by about the fifth or sixth one we were all in hysterics. But it was a memorable, it made us, because we had no money at all, but it just made us laugh by doing that.
I know.
I remember some little sweets and things.
I remember when I first got married in the 80s when interest rates were high, etc. We were skint first Christmas, and I remember I had a huge box that I wrapped and and it was really heavy. But I worked in the timber trade, so I just filled it with wood. So it was really heavy.
Yes.
And then she'd open and she'd find another box and another box. And eventually there was just a very small present. But the box was huge. And I don't know whether she was excited or disappointed.
Yeah. Well, when it gets to the small box, you think, oh, could it be possibly be a piece of jewellery? Oh, no, it's another piece of wood.
I think it was an eternity ring or something like that, got married. So, yeah. But I thought, well, you know, dressing it up can be quite fun as well. And people think, oh, what's inside? So I would just encourage people just to, we say it all the time, don't we, at any time of year, to live within your means. Mm. But there is an organisation called Christians Against Poverty, CAP, and they have some great suggestions on their website about what to do, what not to do. There's something on my website, which I'll probably repost again, and just little tips about some of the things that we've just spoken about, but ways that you can get the most out of your Christmas celebrations.
What will the church be doing for services? And also, if there are people on their own on Christmas Day, have you got any sort of events or anything sort of organised around that?
Well, I'll start backwards. So on Christmas Day, we have a huge group of volunteers who are giving their time, and we're looking to provide lunch for a maximum of 100 people, Christmas Day lunch. Fortunately, that's going to be sponsored by Churches Together, Waitrose, Cook, some very generous individuals. And that's people who maybe are living on their own, maybe couples who don't have any family nearby, who would be lonely, or even families who don't have family nearby and it's too far to travel. So that's what we have for Christmas Day. There's a number on my website. You can I'll give you the details later, that you can ring, and literally first come, first served. And the great thing is you've got sort of young families with older people on the table that they don't know. It can be quite great fun. So that starts sit-down lunch at 1:30. On Christmas Day. And we got a huge amount of people in the community have volunteered their time, some to set up on Christmas Eve, some to be in the kitchen, some to serve. We're not doing it this year. We're going to the world to see my father-in-law. But Paula and I have sort of overseen that for a number of years. But this is the first one, obviously, since 2019.
Yes.
I think that's important to recognise people are lonely, and you know, great that people are giving their time. But what's happening at there's loads of stuff happening, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
I often say that I work more than a Sunday this time of year, because you know what they say about clergy, they only work one day a week. Well, folks, I'm working more than one day a week at the moment. So what have you got planned? So this Sunday, we have planned an outdoor carol service at 10:30. But because it's going to be -3, I think we might
frozen
move,
vocal course.
We might move indoors. We've got a concert in the evening with a guy called Graham Kendrick. Next Wednesday at 12:30 at St Mary's in the High Street, we have a lunchtime carol service for those who don't want to go out on an evening. And you get a free buffet lunch before or after. That's always been very well attended. On the 18th of December in the morning, we have what we call a pop-up nativity for families. That's great fun. But on the 21st of December, a Wednesday evening, I'm doing a service I've never done before. It's called the Longest Night Service. And for a lot of people, Christmas isn't a time of celebration. They're either really struggling with life, there might be mental health issues, they don't feel joyful, there might be grieving the loss of a loved one.
Yep.
So this Longest Night service is just a very gentle service where people can just think about those they've loved and lost, maybe light a candle, just some very gentle prayers. And I put something on the website a few years ago during lockdown, and the number of hits, thousands, where people are just sort of clicked on it, told me that it was something that people may would want to join in with. Christmas Eve, we have a couple of Christingle services, which are normally rammed, fantastic. We got one at 3:00, one at 5:00. We have a First Communion of Christmas at 9:00 rather than 11. I can't do late nights and early mornings anymore.
Turn up at that time, yeah.
And then on Christmas Day, we have a 10:30 sort of family communion. Mm. But you know what? There's loads of churches in Billericay. There's 13 different churches in Billericay, all of whom will have special events on. So I would say come to Emmanuel, because that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But what I would also say, if you've got a church around the corner, you know, it's walking distance and you know what's happening, go and join them. Mm. Because I think there's two things at Christmas. People attend church at Christmas when they don't normally attend.
Yeah.
So you're not the only one. And that's always a good time to attend. But also I think wherever you will go, you'll get a warm welcome.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a very different feel, Christmas time of trees and the way churches are decorated and the celebratory sort of style of what we do.
Yeah.
So wherever you are, I would just take the opportunity to just pop your head around a church, whether it's a family service, something reflective, whatever. You know, it's not going to do you any harm.
I love the way you can keep hearing in the background. You can hear Paul's jumper. those bells.
It
it's not me. It's just no, no, it's fine.
Do I need to take
this off? No, it's just like
a
little jingle.
I'm so excited.
Now, I had a look. I had a look and I saw, are you still doing the messy church service?
We are, but that's the family nativity pop-up.
Oh,
so we do,
right.
For listeners, Messy Church is a once-a-month church service, especially for young families.
Yeah.
We start with breakfast at 9:30, 10 o'clock till 11. Great fun, very interactive, lots of craft, singing, etc. And we get about 50 adults and children, sometimes more, at that service, which is great for, I'm in my element there, I've got to say. That's my niche.
Thought you might be.
But what we do in December, we have the same families attending, and it's obviously open to everybody.
Yep.
And it's a pop-up nativity. And the idea is pop-up. It's minimal prep.
Yeah.
Well, we know the songs we're going to sing. Anybody want to be Mary? Do you fancy being a king? And it's great.
Yeah.
There's an element of preparation, but it's just organized chaos.
Yes, and fun. You always, whenever you talk about the church, I know obviously it's religious, and but you've got that element of fun, because you know some churches, you'll know some churches that you go to, and it's very, I don't know, what would the word be? I don't know.
Formal?
Very formal. That's the word I'm looking for. But with you, when you come in, you're so, you've got such a zest for life and enjoyment and community and family. And that really comes across in the church.
Well, thank you very much. And I think it does. And I don't think there's any right or wrong way of doing church.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my churches down in Little Birsted, it's very formal. It has a robed choir. It's quite traditional. And that sits very easily compared to Emmanuel, which is quite informal, relaxed worship band and quite fun. But I think the important thing is to find somewhere where you fit.
Yes.
Now, some people might come to Emmanuel and say, well, I like you, Paul, but boy, this is just too much for me. And other people say, this is great. Mm. And so what I would say to folks are, wherever you are, there's a church that would suit your style.
Yes.
And often churches replicate the minister. And if you have an organisation, the CEO of an organisation sets the DNA, always. And I think that's true for churches, as it would be for any organisation. And often churches will replicate something of the, I wouldn't say personality, but the character, but, you know, a bit of what you've just said, of the minister. So if you want something very... but having said that, we have two services on a Sunday. So we have the 10:30, what we call our family service, which is a bit upbeat and worship band and not formal. But I do a near 30 service every week, where I will wear my clergy robes, my robes, and it's very traditional Anglican.
Mm.
And we have a group of people who are very faithful who will attend that. And so for me, it's about, can you cater for both ends of the spectrum?
Yeah.
It's not one service fits all. It's there's an option here if you want something a bit quieter, a bit more reflective. Some people don't like the sing, so there's no singing at that service.
Yeah.
And I think that's reflected in all the different services over Christmas. We've got some family ones that are the organised chaos, but, you know, as I say, the longest night service will be very different. The first communion of Christmas is very formal and quiet, you know what I mean? So there's something for everybody, I think. But I think that's true week by week on a Sunday. And I think wherever you are, I'd be very surprised if folk couldn't find a church that suited them.
Yeah.
But the great thing about social media now, and the great thing about websites, you can look at a website and you'll find out immediately whether it suits you or not.
Yes, yeah.
And a lot of churches are recording or live streaming services, so you can look at a service and say, oh, I like that.
Mm.
or nah, not for me, and then you look somewhere else. So I would encourage people not to give up at the first viewing, if you like, but to look around and find out where they would fit.
Now let's talk music. We need to talk music because you are very well respected in the music industry by artists, because you do these amazing events that you've been putting on. I don't know how long it's been. It's been for years and years and years you've been doing this. And you've also, you write up on different artists as well, and you bring music that people might, or artists that people might not know of. So I know we're going to play out Graham Kendrick at the end of the chat. So tell us about all your involvement in music, because it is a passion.
It's a passion. I mean, it goes back being a kid, really. I was brought up in a mining community, and I played in a brass band. Everybody in the Northeast plays in a brass band. I played bass guitar in a band for a number of years. I was a DJ. I used to earn more being a DJ than when I did working 60 hours a week in an office. So not enough to give it up. Anyway, so music has always been a passion, and since I can remember, I've attended gigs, whether it's at a hall somewhere, or at a theatre, or in a pub, and that's sort of grown over the years. And I mean, I've got some amazing venues in Billericay. Emmanuel's a fabulous sort of theatre style venue. I've got a decent side lounge, so I can do house gigs. I have gigs in my garden. And I think over the years, I've just thought, would I get enough people to cover the cost to ask someone? So I started asking Christian artists who were fairly well established 15 years ago, shall we say. People like, some people may have heard of Bryn Howarth or After the Fire, people like that. And then I thought, well, I don't listen to Christian music all the time, and the gigs I go to are not always Christian. So I thought, well, who's out there? And sort of experimented, if you like, with different artists. And I'd heard either support artists or people who'd been very well recommended. So my niche, if you want to call it that, where most of my artists and the audience who I attract, shall we say, is what we call Americana. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
And Americana is a mix of blues, a bit of folk, a bit of country. And so that's the niche, if you like, that I have. My just recently, obviously with lockdown, a lot of gigs were suspended and people were quite nervous coming out again. But I had Ricky Ross at Emmanuel in October, and Ricky is the lead singer of Deacon Blue.
Yeah,
he tours with them practically every year, but he does it's only his second solo tour in 5 years. He came in 2017, actually. We looked after him. You know, it's a great venue. And he came back.
Yep. So, and it sold out, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was. Yeah. And what was interesting, it was the last night of his UK tour, or his British tour, because he went to Ireland, so he said the British tour, yeah, which was amazing. And out of all of the gigs that he's done this year, I'm the only independent promoter. Everyone else are with sort of all these agencies. So that's quite a coup, really, I think. And so I do house gigs. I've got house gigs coming up in January. I've got a guy called Joe Anderton, who is from Chelmsford.
I know him. I know the name. I think he might have been on my show.
He may have been. He was known a few years ago as the Blues Kid. And he is in a guy called Connor Selby, who's a really fabulous rising star in the blues circuit. And Joe plays with him, and got to know them, and he's doing a house gig. But the interesting thing is, that is Blue Monday. So that weekend is the bluest, most miserable weekend of the year. I thought, well, you've got to have blues,
yes,
you know, for the blue weekend. And then I've got a girl called Hannah White coming in February, and she supported Ricky on his UK tour.
Yeah.
And she's fabulous, really lovely girl, some amazing songs.
Yeah.
And one of her songs called Car Crash has just been nominated as Song of the Year in the UK Americana Awards.
Yeah.
I voted for it, obviously. I've got a guy called Billy Mitchell coming in March. He is a member of Lindisfarne. And so he's coming. Lindisfarne came last year, a duo. So, you know, and that's all I'm up to at the moment. But certainly I may try and get you to come, and I always say this, but now that the house is open, and have you played your song on here? Are you allowed to?
Some other presenters have. I haven't played it on my.
I've got to say it. if Michelle is multi-talented. She just released an EP. There's a song on YouTube called Try. Michelle gave me a link to that this morning. It's fabulous.
Thank you.
It really is a great song. So when you stop listening to me and when the Michelle's show is over, Google it.
Thank you.
Well worth listening to. It's a very good song.
Thank you very much. It's from an EP called Directions. I'll get that bit out there.
I haven't been paid for that.
No, he hasn't.
That's a genuine recommendation.
I'm going to knit a jumper instead. It might take me some time. Now, if people want to find out more about Emmanuel Church and also about the music events that you do, where do they need to go?
Well, the easiest place to go is to my website, which is revpacman.com. So Rev, because I'm a reverend. PSC, because that's my name, Paul Anthony Carr.
Yes.
Pack and man, because I'm a man. And if people look closely, I use the old Pac-Man. You remember the old Pac-Man logo?
Yeah.
And so there's a Pac-Man wearing a clerical collar.
Yes.
So Pac-Man is my Twitter, it's my Facebook, it's my website, all of that stuff. Just a bit of fun. And can I just say, I paid for the right to be able to use Pac-Man as my logo.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
I was about to say how you got away with that one.
I paid a bit of money at the time. But people know me as Pac-Man, Rev Pac-Man.
Yes.
So that's probably the best thing. And links to Christmas at Emmanuel's on there. There's a few Christmas articles. All the gigs that I've got coming up are on there. What's been happening in the past. It's a great read.
Yes.
It's a great read. And what I'll be doing in a few weeks, which is what I do, probably early January every year, I put up my top 20 songs of the year. Mm. And most of the artists people would never have heard of.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to experiment with a new. So I say, pour a cup of tea, but in your case, pour a glass of wine.
sit down for
an hour and enjoy that. So plenty on there, music, sport, faith, lots of different stuff.
Yeah, and it's always great to listen to independent music. You know, I pay loads on my show because there are so many amazing artists out there. So rather than listening to the same chart stuff, which is all very good, it's nice to hear something that you might not have heard before and become a fan, because people are recording and doing music, and if you listen to them on Spotify and all that, that's okay. But you might buy a CD, and that makes everything worthwhile for an artist.
Absolutely. And I think it was very interesting what you said earlier. I'm well respected. Thank you very much for that. But I think what people do, they trust my judgment.
Mm.
And often people will come to my gigs, I've never heard of this person, but you like them and you have a good ear. And so we just come here on your say-so, which is quite encouraging on the one hand, but pretty scary on the other.
Yeah. It's nice. And you can, again, the gentle bells there, just reminding us it's coming up to Christmas from Paul's jumper.
Yes, sorry.
Now, we're going to end on a track. Now, this one is by Graham Kendrick, and it's called Adore. And you've picked this tune out to end the interview on.
I have. You know, sometimes you hear a Christmas song and it just hits you and you love it immediately. This song was released by Graham in about 2019. And it's a Christmas song, just called Adore. It tells a Christmas story. The lyrics are great. It's a lovely tune. And that's one of the reasons I've chosen it. Thank you.
Lovely. Lovely to see you. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You stepped down from heaven. Save.